Jesus said in John chapter 15, greater love has no one than this, than he lay down his life for his friends. I'd like to speak to you this morning a little bit of a continuation of last Sunday and the 10th commandment, thou shalt not covet. And this morning I'd like to speak to you about the topic of self-sacrifice. We remember today and give thanks for the sacrifice of so many and all around our country. People are remembering today and this weekend in churches and cemeteries and homes and public places the sacrifice of those that have served especially our country and have given their lives, and on behalf of remembering them and that sacrifice and their families and many others who have given so much in serving, I think, in our communities. And we pause this weekend to remember. Long ago, in the course of our country's beginning, there were many who stood up for what they believed, and because they did, and many have since then, our country has many blessings that others around the world do not have. I'm not here to say this morning that our country's perfect. Indeed, we need to follow the words of the song that was written so long ago, God, mend our every flaw. Help us to know what and where and when we should change and what we should do as godly citizens in a country, and praying for our leaders and praying for those that serve and praying for those that are in harm's way. We have a lot to be thankful for. Self-sacrifice comes in so many different ways and places. And this morning I want to focus on the self-sacrifice of a person who desires to be like Jesus. Through acts of kindness, through loving people that are hurting, by having eyes that see the needs of people around us, and having a genuine, purposed heart that says, I want to reach the people and have the influence and the people in the circle of influence that I have for Jesus. Jesus certainly is the great example. There are many people in history that are illustrating what it means to have a caring and a kind and compassionate spirit and give and give and give and self-sacrifice. Today I want to focus a little bit more on what it means for us in the church today, and what it is that God wants from us and in us, and the way that we see the needs of people around us. I want to begin this morning and read the words about Jesus in the book of Philippians chapter 2, where a man who wrote this book, a man named Apostle Paul, explains in the heart of Jesus. And he explains it in terms of how Jesus gave something up and emptied himself so that he could serve others. Reading from Philippians chapter 2, I want to begin reading at verse 3. It says, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he emptied himself, he humbled himself, and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Right in the middle of these words where we read this description of Jesus who gave so much, we read the words in verse 3, right in the middle of these words, we read in this passage, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Every time I read this scripture and I read this verse, it just stops me whatever I'm doing, whatever line of thought I'm going down, whatever I'm working on or considering, thinking about, when I read these words, it just stops me. Okay, right here's enough. Right here's a great call. Right here, God reaches out and he says something to me. My attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Boy, those are high words. They're also very direct words. And Paul says it right to us, that every one of us as believers, as Christians, should have something inside of us just like Jesus did. I mean, how could he say that we could be like Jesus? Well, he gives us a lot of things that tells us how we can be like Jesus. What is it that God wants for us? What kind of an attitude and what kind of a thought process and what kind of a mind does God want for us? Here it says your attitude should be the same as Jesus. Every day we should stop and say, how am I doing? One of the things that might be a great daily habit for us is to get in the middle of our day somewhere, whether it's in the beginning or the middle or the end, and just ask that question, how am I doing today? How am I being like Jesus? Is the way that I live, is the way that I talk, is the my goals, is my priorities, the way that I treat people, is this what Jesus wants for me? Am I like Jesus? And so this morning, let's look at the attitude of Jesus that's here. If we try to duplicate the attitude of Jesus, what is it about Jesus that is written here that we need to be like? It begins with humility. It begins with an attitude of humility that God wants in every single one of us. An attitude of how we look at ourselves and how we look at one another. It begins with how we approach and we see life and our hearts before God. We also know that Jesus had a great heart of serving, and he did it all the time. He saw the needs of people. He saw deeply. He perceived far deeper than we ever will the hearts and the real needs of people. But whatever they were, whether they were evident to other people or not, Jesus perceived them and he saw them and he always tried to meet them. He wanted to help them. Jesus had this attitude of seeing the needs of people that he always went to. I can't think of a time that's recorded in the Bible where somebody came to Jesus with a need and Jesus didn't reach out to meet it. He did every time. He did from the heart. He did because that's who he was. And we're told to have that same attitude as Jesus did. Paul says here to be like Jesus is to have an attitude of lifting people up, helping people, having an attitude that says, in every opportunity, I'll do my best to encourage my neighbor, encourage my brother. It says here, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. The focus here is on others, on how Jesus wants us to see other people. And that may go against the grain of what we may feel natural sometimes. But Paul reminds us, Jesus was always thinking about others. Consider others better than yourselves. That doesn't mean that they are better than you, but that God wants our orientation to be on other people. In fact, that word here, other, is found here and in the next verse, that God calls us to have an attitude toward others that's pleasing to him. Your attitude and how you respect people, how you hold out your feelings and how you see people. There's a certain way that God wants us to live. Not that everybody's easy to respect or that people are easy to care about or love, but yet God wants us to transcend that and see the needs and see the people. We hold others, and especially in the body of Christ. This letter was written to the church. So especially in the body of Christ, we are called with a certain kind of attitude that we're to have to our brothers and sisters, a certain perspective, a certain maybe patience, you would say, that God calls us to this continual process of holding others out and considering them better than yourself, a certain kindness, a certain encouragement, a certain attention to their needs that we're to have. We're to have eyes that see each other, that we see them in a way that says we want to help them. We want to encourage them. We want to help them to take that step in the journey. Patience, always. That's the attitude of Jesus. So when we read the words, we should have the same attitude of Jesus. We see in him this servanthood and this perspective of caring for others. We look not only at our own interest, but also the interest of others. Paul writes here, each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Paul doesn't say that we do things to hurt ourselves in order to focus on other people, or we don't take care of ourselves. He says that remember that God wants you to take care of yourself, but also God wants you to have a desire and wants you to have a heart that cares about other people and how other people feel and what it is they see and they perceive and they're struggling with and they're working with. God wants us to have an attitude that's focused on others. We all have interests. We all have preferences. We all have things that are important to us. I just was thinking this morning, it wasn't a part of what I was even thinking about before. It's kind of a side note, kind of an extra. But I thought, well, how does that apply to the church? And one thing came to mind, and that is the preference of music. You know, if I took a poll again this morning, and I ask you, how do you feel about music in the church and what you want? If there's, I don't know how many people here, I'll say, I don't know, 150 people here this morning, I would get 151 different responses. That's the way it is. Because we have preferences and interests. There's nothing wrong with that. God made us that way. We all come from different experiences and different backgrounds and things we like or don't like or we're used to or we're not used to. But here I come to the verse and it says we should not just look to our own interests but to the interests of others. And there's something about what we hold on to and what we like and we want in life that we're reminded the attitude that Jesus wants us to have. It's an attitude that looks and cares about other people, cares about what other people feel and they deal with and they may be thinking of. Truly, God calls the Christian to look at others differently, to see them differently. We do need to live as if our brother's interests do matter and our sister's interests do matter and what it is that they feel does matter, and we don't just discount and that's not me, I don't feel that way, so I don't care about them or what they feel or they want. The attitude of Jesus, have the same attitude of Jesus. Now, I know this may be kind of a quippy saying. It's been around a while. I don't know who came up with it, but I still like this one. It's one that I think says something to me, and that's what joy is. Jesus first, others second, you last. There's something about that that rings with me, of the attitude of Jesus, the heart of Jesus, and how He did it, and how He wants us to have it. The way that we serve, the way that we give, the way that we treat people, we're to be like Jesus. It's to be different. Jesus was the master. Boy, He was the master example. He's the master teacher. He's the one that He said things that really gets our attention. Let me give you two examples from the ministry of Jesus and how He shows this attitude that we're thinking about of self-sacrifice. One is in a story He told, a parable, and the other one is from something that He saw and He observed in everyday life. Listen from Luke chapter 10, verse 29. It says, but He wanted to justify Himself, so He asked Jesus, who is my neighbor? In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down the same road, and when he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too a Levite, when he came to the place and saw him, passed by on the other side. But a Samaritan, as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring oil on and wine. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to the inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for extra expense that you may have. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robber? In this story, we have an attitude. We have Jesus conveying this truth about how He sees people and how we're to see the people around us. The second thing that or story from Jesus that I want to highlight today also has in it 2 coins. It's interesting in the first story that the parable of the Good Samaritan, he brought out two silver coins, which were a lot of money, and he paid them to take care of the needs of the man, and how Jesus honored that. But in the second story, there's two coins involved as well. Again, what is Jesus saying to us from Mark chapter 12, verse 41? Jesus sat down opposite the place where the offerings were put and watched the crowd putting their money into the temple treasury. Many rich people threw in large amounts, but a poor widow came and put in two very small copper coins, worth only a fraction of a penny. Calling his disciples to him, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, this poor widow has put more into the treasury than all the others. They all gave out of their wealth, but she, out of her poverty, put everything, all she had, to live on." I notice in this story how Jesus was watching and observing, really in both stories, although one is a parable, and Jesus is telling us, two coins that were worth a lot, and Jesus said, "This man did what's right." And then two coins that weren't worth hardly anything, and Jesus said, "This woman's heart is right." Jesus was watching. Jesus was observing. And he took the time, I notice in this story, to call his disciples and teach them. You might say he took the time to call out the disciples and say to them, "Look at this. Look at the heart of this." He calls out to his disciples. Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, this widow has put more in." In those however many seconds it took for that widow to walk across the temple entrance and put into those large receptacles her two small coins, and whatever that took, 10, 15, 20 seconds in this act of the widow's, we know that she pleased God greatly, because God saw in her a heart that loved and cared. She gave out of her poverty. I noticed in this part of the story, Jesus emphasizes the giving out of her poverty. That caught Jesus' attention. When we serve, Jesus knows that. When we give, Jesus knows that. He understands who we are and why and what our motives are. And when we give or we don't give, God sees our hearts. He knows where we really are on the inside. He knows whether or not we have a heart of following Him, or we have a heart that's stingy and holds on to. God cares deeply about our sacrificial living and how we put into practice what we say we believe about Jesus. What we say we believe when we hear this scripture that we're to have the same attitude of Jesus. God knows our heart. He sees our heart. He knows our needs. He knows all about what we have and we don't have. He knows what it is that we are able to do and what we want to do. He knows our needs. He knew what that widow didn't have. He knew that that widow had very little, and even those two small copper coins that were worth hardly anything, Jesus knew what it meant to her. He could see her faithfulness. He could see how faithful she was being in giving what she had. I think of all the scriptures that tell us about sacrificial giving and the importance of giving our very best. And this widow was not giving out of her poverty, but she was giving from her heart. She was giving from something deeper inside than the purse or the wallet or whatever it is. She was giving from deep on the inside, and that's what Jesus rewards. He knows what we need. He sees our need. He rewards it. We also know that God loves a cheerful giver, a heart that gives, a heart that serves, and He rewards that. Both of these stories are about a heart that is freely giving and wanting to do what God wants us to. I think this speaks to me, and it's on my mind and my heart especially, because I think through and I have to ask myself the question, why am I living out the Christian life? Why am I trying to do what's right? Why am I trying to help people when I can? Why do I give what I give? What is it inside of me that causes me to want to? Is my heart right with God? I'm thinking of some questions. that I have to think about for me, and I think all of us do. Is our serving and our giving motivated by loving God? Is it because we want to be pleasing to God? Is it because we want to make Jesus happy? We want to serve Him. Is it some other motivation? First of all, why am I doing what I am doing? Why do we help other people? Why do we have a heart and an attitude that we do? Do we serve? Do we give out of the excess or the leftovers? Or when it doesn't cost us very much? Is Christianity kind of out of convenience in our lives? And yeah, I'm willing to do some things as long as it doesn't get difficult, as long as it doesn't cost me too much, as long as I don't have to give too much, as long as I don't have to get out of my comfort zone, as long as I don't have to get my hands dirty with people. I mean, yes, I'm willing to help people, but not if they're not in a certain category of need. Or I'm challenged when I read the parable of the Good Samaritan. You know, the issue of the Good Samaritan is that there were two that went on by. They were already doing good things. They were leaders. They were religious people. They were, I'm afraid, me, you know, in the story. Why do we do what we do? What's the motivation for it? What's the limit? Are we Christians because it's convenient for us to be? Yeah, well, I'm a Christian, and yeah, I try to do nice things and good things, and I talked to somebody this week, and they wanted to talk to me. I wasn't sure exactly what and why, but they pretty much brought up their lifestyle and said to me, I'm a good person. They're wanting something, I think. Yeah, I'm a good person. Why do we desire to live the Christian life? Is it important? Is it deep? Sometimes I'm concerned that we get a little bit too comfortable with cultural Christianity. And yeah, I go to church. And yeah, I try to do what's right most of the time. But I wonder, is it really deep in the heart of who we are and why we do what we do? See, we live in our comfort zones. And sometimes life isn't that comfortable. And loving people that are not lovable is a part of who Jesus is and what He did. Let your attitude be the same as Jesus. I've been a Christian for a long time. I've been a Christian since before I knew it. I've been a Christian since I was in diapers. Imagine that. Now, don't imagine that. Never mind. Sometimes I observe myself and my life and my culture and my family. And sometimes I observe the body of Christ. And I wonder, are we following Jesus because it's convenient? Because for us not to, it would be so unnatural. Or are we following Jesus because we passionately want to be like Him? We want our hearts to burn with the same things that the heart of Jesus burned with. When He told the story of the parable of the Good Samaritan, whatever was on Jesus' mind then. Do I serve because it's easy to serve and, you know, it just, if I don't, people won't like it around me and most of the people in my life are Christians? What motivates the deeper parts of my belief and how I treat people and what I give my time to and what I give my resources to? Do we live by the minimum? Do we do the least we can? Or is something inside of us saying, I'm going to do that all I can to glorify God. I'm going to do all I can to love people. I'm going to do all that I can to be a light of Jesus in a world that is hurting and broken. Jesus did say, if anyone would come after me, he must take up his cross and follow me. What that means, there's something about the Christian way, there's something about depth of Christianity that I want more than the shallow part. I want to be a Christian because deep on the inside, I want to be like Jesus and I want to love Him and serve Him. I want to be motivated by the things that that Jesus called us to. Let your attitude be the same as that of Christ Jesus.